Well, with Mary Joyce, we're going to take your calls this hour. Now, she also wrote a book called Tangible Evidence of Jesus, and we're going to get into that story next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Mary Joyce with us. Lots of your calls coming in, and we're going to talk about her other book, Tangible Evidence of Jesus. This, of course, being Independence Day, always reminds me of that incredible movie, Independence Day, as we talk about UFOs. And I'll always remember, of course, the president talking about UFOs.
In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Kind of dramatic. Kind of sounds a little bit about North Korea, too, doesn't it? Let's check back with Mary Joyce now. And Mary, before we go to calls, you've got another work called Tangible Evidence of Jesus. Tell me how that fits into to what you've been working on.
There's no correlation between the three books that I've done in recent times.
Okay, no tie-in.
There's no connection at all. The Tangible Evidence of Jesus, I did because there is so much fantastic archaeological and scientific information about Jesus that's buried in these academic books that nobody is going to take the time to read. So what I wanted to do was to get this information and present it in a very readable form for people who are, let's face it, everybody's busy and everybody's visual. And so the book has lots of photos and maps and artwork so that the whole story comes out in a very readable way. I've done that with all three books. They're more like magazines because there's so many photos in all three of the books.
I thought you were going to allege that Jesus was an E.T. or something like that.
Well, he may very well be a man from our future. If that.
Tell me more.
That's just now you're just getting into my personal feeling. My personal feeling is that there are many beings that are either at higher levels than we are or in our future that periodically will come back to Earth trying to help a very backward species elevate itself a little bit. And I think that Jesus was one of those.
When you were putting the book together, Tangible Evidence of Jesus, what would you say is the most tangible evidence?
Actually, there's quite a bit in there. I'm trying to figure out what's the best thing to tell you. There's been some wonderful work done by some professors at the University of North Carolina, and they discovered the family tomb of Jesus. And I find it really fascinating that at the time of Jesus, the burial customs were quite different, and they were only quite different for maybe 100 years. And they used to build tombs in the hillsides outside of Old Jerusalem, and they basically had the same design. You would walk in the entrance, and there would be like a square, like little courtyard, so to speak, and in each wall there would be different niches. What they would do is they would put somebody in the tomb after they died and leave them in there for a year until all the soft tissue disappeared. And then they would take the bones and put them in a bone box, which is known as an ossuary. And at that point, they would put them in the niches on the sidewalls. The most important person was always buried in the first niche to the right. Well, in this tomb that they had determined is the family burial tomb of Jesus, there are three ossuaries in that first niche. They all have inscriptions on them. One says, Jesus, son of Joseph. I'm giving it in English, obviously. One says, it's like Mary in the familiar form, which the Jews did not do at that time. They would put real names of people when they buried them. But it was a familiar name or a nickname for Mary. And it also had a title in front of it, and it was Mara. And Mara is the female equivalent of Lord. So that was the other adult that was in there. Then there was an ossuary that said Judah, son of Jesus. So it's very, very interesting. And they have done DNA research on some of the little bone fragments that were still in there. And there is no genetic connection between the Mary in that niche and the Jesus in that niche. So it's not his mother, it's not his sister. The implication is clearly it was his wife. And there's supporting evidence. In some of the niches on some of the other walls, there are familiar names associated with Jesus in the Old Testament. And another one, again, had a nickname, and it was Josie, which was the nickname that Jesus gave his brother. So there are two nicknames, which is unheard of in the burial customs of that time. And it's like all these pieces come together and support the idea that this was the family burial tomb. To give further support to it, there is, within a very short distance of there, the burial tomb of a rich man. And on his, I think on his ossuary, there is a fish that's been etched on it, which was a symbol of early Christianity.
That's right.
It is believed to be the burial tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, who is also a very fascinating man because he literally was related to Jesus. He was his great uncle, and that was the reason he was able to take the body when Jesus was crucified. When people were crucified at that time, they were just thrown into a mass burial plot or ditch, probably, unless a male family relative claimed the body. So in order for Joseph of Arimathea to have been able to take the body, he had to be some kind of a relative. So he's played a much greater role in Jesus' life than, you know, the Bible even begins to say. And he was a very well-known man. There's records of him beyond just the Bible. He was the noblest curio for the Romans, and he was in charge of the Roman mines in southwest England, and he traveled by ship on a regular basis between, the Mediterranean and Cornwall and places of that nature. Throughout southwestern England, there are stories of Jesus being there as a boy.
That's amazing story. Did he possess biblical powers that we read about?
It seems to be correct.
So you can't you can't or won't refute that, will you?
I won't either way.
Okay.
Because really what I've done is I've focused on concrete evidence. For example, the woman who headed up the Montessori school system here in the United States, I'm going to go blank on her name, Caspari, I believe, she traveled decades ago into the Himalayas and visited one of the major monasteries there. And while they were there, one of the monks came and brought out one of their books, or it's a different kind of book, but brought out the book and said, here is evidence that your Jesus was here. So there's a lot of fascinating stories, including legends throughout the, the Indian cultures of Jesus appearing to people. And I wish that more people would learn about it. Because it just expands our understanding of Jesus, which is very limited when you just stick to the Bible. I find it fascinating that the people who just go by the Bible all the time, you know, think they know everything and they don't want to read a book like this.
Was he the Son of God, in your opinion?
I think he was a son of God. And I think that it's sort of like he was assigned to Earth to take care of it. And
right.
So in that sense, he was the Son of God for the Earth. But the universe is so much grander, and there's so many expressions of God throughout the universe.
Did he resurrect from the dead?
The way I believe from everything I put together is that his soul left his body, and as you know, if anybody who reads about spirits and things of that nature, they can materialize before you. I think that that's what he was able to do. I think that he left his bones behind, and you know, people who you know want to hold on to their grave because they believe that the bones will rise again when he returns. I think this is a very really a very primitive idea, because the soul is totally separate from the physical body, and he had the ability to manifest himself for people after the resurrection.
I think that name you're looking for was Maria Montessori.
That's it. Well, her Caspari, I believe. Anyhow, that's just another type of example of evidence of Jesus that comes from unexpected sources.
All right, let's take some phone calls, and then we'll take final calls when we come back from the half here. Let's go to Charles in Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Charles.
Hey there. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure thing.
I kind of have a question about I was over on our website, you know, on the Fairy website, and I said I noticed she had a book. She was talking about old soldier that dropped three bombshells, and then. And it was written by Donald Cooper. And one of the things I noticed about it was that this old guy, he's still, I guess, you know, I don't know if he's still around. I guess he was 90.
He died rather recently.
He has just passed away, Charles.
Just passed away. Well, the thing is, there are a bunch of things he was asked to do in service, I guess. For a long time, they denied that he was ever in service. And, of course, on top of this, he was involved with UFO-related things, too. So that only makes it even more. All the links they'll go to deny, you know, somebody who served the country very well. And as you know, I kind of have a personal interest in that because what happened with my dad and how long – my question is, how long did they deny – that he was ever in service? Do you have an idea of how long that was? How long did it take to finally...
Decades.
Was he ever vindicated, Mary?
He began to get VA help and things of that nature. By the way, I don't know if we're going back a ways with that article, but with that article referring to Don Cooper's book, there should be a link there to the original article I wrote about him, which would give you a whole lot more detail.
Great.
So look for that link, and you'll be able to find out more.
The UFO sightings that you see in your area, there are still strange things happening around North Carolina with their lights and everything else. I wonder if they're all related. What do you think, Mary?
I'm sure they must be, but I think that we have people coming in from different species or different parts of the universe. We see such a variety of UFOs, and here we've seen some that I have never seen anywhere else, like on the Internet. For example, there's pictures of UFOs that look like asteroids, except they're not lit up, and they're close to the ground, and they hover.
Yeah, they're like they're cloaking or something.
Yeah, and like trying to hide in plain sight, and I've never seen anything else like that, and that would be under Skyship Photos on the website. It's worth just scrolling through some of these things because there's just so many of them, and just, you know, visually do cruising, and when a picture jumps out, then check it out. We've also had like holograms. There was one where there was a number that formed in the sky, and we're not talking about it like a cloud formation. And then, you know, it dissipated. So, you know, what's going on there? It's, you know, clearly something. We never totally
sure.
figured out what it meant.
These little people stories are fascinating. Might they have been even smaller than 3 feet, maybe a foot?
The ones that I've heard about are more in the 3 foot range.
Okay. And you know, we've had reports of 3 foot, you know, humanoid type creatures discovered on this planet. I mean, in Africa,
right.
We've had that,
right.
You know, and
South America and Ireland and it's Hawaii.
Yeah. Let's go to Brenda in New Mexico. Brenda, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hello, George and Mary. It's a pleasure to talk to you both.
Hi. Good to have you with us.
Well, I live outside of Holloman Air Force Base, and there has been rumored that there was a UFO crash many years ago, not just Roswell, but there, too. There is a underground base under out in White Sands, about 14 stories, and there's also, over the White Sands Missile Range, which is in Las Cruces, not too far from us, a mountain that supposedly moves to accept military vehicles. I myself have seen, we'll say, two interesting sightings of different anomalies. And I don't know, Mary, if you know who this person is. His name is Phil Schneider. I watched one of his videos.
Oh, yeah. He was great for underground bases. He's dead now, too.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
he
died years ago.
He was one of the three survivors of that Dulce underground alien fight, and he was a geologist, and he actually got to, like, work at Los Alamos, and he built the underground base and talked about the nefarious reasons where they were. His video is called The Secret Underground Reptilian Cities of
the War. Great. He was great. I miss him.
He had many attempts on his life, and I'm sad to say that he passed. But I've done a lot of investigating in this because of where I'm at and the things that I've encountered. But they do have nuclear borers, and they're 30 feet circumference, and they go about 7 miles a day. Because they're nuclear fission, or fusion, I should say, they turn rock right into glass, and supposedly all the bases, all those underground cities are all interconnected.
And that's fast. And they may be connected like that as well. Mary, does anybody report hearing a hum, like for construction?
We have gotten multiple reports from people who have felt underground vibrations, mechanical sounds, and things like that have gone beneath their land for a certain amount of time. For example, it may just be a day or two. It may be weeks. It may be months. And it's a long line that you might draw between one facility and the other.
Okay.
And in my book, I do have a picture of what the caller was talking about with the underground boring machine. And they can literally go through ground about 7 miles in a day. So I think that a lot of these vibrations that people feel for a period of time may very well be underground construction.
All right, we're going to come back with final phone calls in just a second this Independence Day on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Mary Joyce. By the way, I wanted to thank all of you listening, participating in our Independence Day program tonight. Next holiday, Labor Day, a couple months away. Mary, it's going by way too fast, isn't it?
It does seem to fly, doesn't it?
My gosh, somebody needs to learn how to slow it down for us. So what are your next projects? What are you going to work on next?
Well, the website is the one that takes my attention all the time.
Sure.
Try to update that once a week. So there's always something new on there. And the most recent subjects are always on the right-hand side of the homepage. And besides UFOs and some of the things we've talked about, we also get into some of the archaeological discoveries. We get into some of the things with miracles. You know, we just try to do a lot.
So you're wide ranging. You're not restricted to one thing.
Curiosity will take you anywhere.
It sure will. It sure will. Let's go to Vancouver, Washington. Howard's with us, west of the Rockies. Hey, Howard. Happy Independence Day.
Thank you. Hello, George and Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question for Mary. The Native Americans have many different legends about a race of giants that once existed on this continent. And it seems that every time this evidence is found, a skeleton is unearthed or something of the sort, people from the Smithsonian Institute show up and gather it up, and no one ever sees it again. And
like we have the we hear about the two skeletons, giant skeletons, in the forensic storage area at the university.
Yeah.
We don't hear about that either. So it's going on at every level. And George, you probably have covered that story.
Many times.
Smithsonian.
Many times.
They've just taken things and it goes into some deep, deep, dark hole. Because if they acknowledge some of this stuff, history will have to be rewritten. And apparently people are very adverse to that.
Well, you know, I had a guest on yesterday who said that Columbus, and I've had that from other guests, that Columbus did not become the first person to hit the Americas, that he was one of the last.
Right, the Vikings for sure came.
Vikings, Romans, Egyptians, he had them all coming here.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
let's go.
Evidence of the Chinese being
in
the Grand Canyon, if I'm not mistaken.
There apparently were Egyptian hieroglyphs found in the Grand Canyon as well.
Uh-huh, yes.
How about that?
And people think that other generations going back centuries were very, very primitive, but the Phoenicians traveled all over the world, and apparently the Chinese did too. So there's been, a lot of movement around this planet long before we had major boats and planes and cars.
Let's go to John in Middleton, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi. The Indians in Tennessee stated that the little people who lived in warm caves in winters in Tennessee did not look like them, but were fair-skinned. They came from another area. I say they were Finnic Sami Lapps, who are Europeans in northern Norway, Sweden, and Finland. They are of smaller size. Jesus and others came to America with the Sami Lapp Finnic boats. It all makes sense when you think about it.
What do you think of that one, Mary?
Well, when I mentioned about the man who has little people living on his land in eastern Tennessee, those little people look European.
Amazing.
I think little people come in many different varieties.
If you could get into a time machine and go back, where would you go?
Oh, tough question. I would want to cruise, actually. probably the Sumerians, maybe, before the Egyptians.
You'd like to see that? I'd like to see Jesus do his thing.
Oh, I agree with that. I think that's a very fascinating time.
Yep.
And by the way, we were briefly talking about that book, Tangible Evidence of Jesus. And one of the things that may get people, conventional Christians or conservative Christians, interested in considering this book is that I actually got a handwritten note from President Carter, and he said it is both interesting and helpful. And it was a handwritten note on a sheet of paper that was written kind of sideways, so it wasn't any kind of formal response. And he is known as the best-known Sunday school teacher in the country.
That's cool.
And so if somebody who, still aligns himself with the Baptist can find this interesting, hopefully other conservative Christians will at least consider taking a look at the book.
Let's go to Pat in Florida. Welcome to the show. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Listen, I grew up in Switzerland. And a small region of Emmental, as kids we were always told that they had gnomes and never believed it until we did see it. And old farmer took us out and showed us the caves. But again, they stayed away from regular people. Just wondering if that has or ties into any of your research, Mary.
I haven't done anything about Switzerland at all. But I do know that the little people are very afraid of being discovered. They're not only afraid of people, they are actually afraid of ETs. Not all ETs, but some ETs. And
I could understand why they'd be afraid of people.
Right.
We'd annihilate them.
And some of the ETs, they're not all the same, and some of them are not nice at all. And they are known for... liking to have a snack on small humans. So that
oh,
was,
really?
And that might explain why so many children are disappearing in the forest. Paula Deez has written about that.
Yep.
And I've often thought that that might be the source of it, because it's always in remote areas. And like I said, the little people have communicated with this man in Tennessee that they are very afraid of that particular kind of alien.
What kind of language do they speak, these little people?
I know that they communicate with him telepathically, which seems to be the most common way of communication, except for us who only can talk. So,
Tyler in Utah is with us, first-time caller. Hello, Tyler.
Hi. I actually have a question for Mary.
All right.
And I'm actually curious. Are Doulahans also are Doulahans also ETs?
I didn't understand you. Are what?
Doulahans, they're like I guess the headless horseman could be considered one. Like they're beings that can function with their with.
I've never heard of these creatures. Mary, I assume you have never heard of them either.
I haven't pursued that at all. No, I'm not any help to you. I'm sorry.
What about gargoyles? Do they come up in any of your research, Mary?
Not that I've done. I mean, I certainly have read about gargoyles, but it's not been part of this little people research at all.
All right, Tyler, great questions, but no can help there. Let's go to Joe T. in Roanoke, Virginia. Hello, Joe T. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. Happy belated birthday and all
that
stuff.
Well, thank you.
Look, I was listening to, I've been up here before, but you know my brother, Vernon Kitabu Turner Roshi. You know him?
He's yeah.
Here. That's my brother. Okay. But anyway, I was listening to very interesting, what's your name, the lady?
Her name's Mary.
Okay, about her stories, because everything she was saying, you know, I've been reading this really big book about everything that happened with Yeshua, Jesus, back in the day. Everybody thinks that he, some story says that he married
Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene had a child. And the other thing that's interesting to me is that he, the one who, he took the beating for his son, actually,
Barabbas.
Son of the father was his son, the one that was in the jail, and he was the one who took the beating, that took all
the abuse.
Went through all of that for his son, because actually that was his son. I don't know if you read that big, I have a really big, big book about everything that happened during the Jesus' walk, but I have nothing excites me. I mean, I like her stories and her, I like what she said about the ETs and all of that, because I have been into that ever since I was a little girl. My sister and I used to sit on the rooftop.
waiting for them to come down. Only a couple minutes left, Mary. Back to the story of Jesus. Did you uncover anything that was outside of the norm that you found puzzling?
Actually, it kind of made a whole lot of sense. If you begin to learn about the culture at that time, he lived within that culture, and a lot of the things he did fit very well into the culture. For example, he was called a rabbi, and
yes, he was.
In order to be a rabbi, at that time at least, you had to be married. At that time, a man could only teach children if he was married. And in the Bible, you hear stories about, you know, Jesus with the children, and you hear about him being called rabbi. And so, his culture would have dictated that he be married. He would have been considered a real oddity if he was just out with the fisherman boys all the time with no women around. And he did have women disciples.
Now, back to the UFOs in the Cashiers, North Carolina area. You continue to investigate those stories?
We do. We don't put everything on the website anymore because just, a white light in the sky, you know, we've seen so many of those, we don't report them. It has to be something a little bit different. And, people get bored just seeing them.
And where do we get your books, Mary?
They're all available on Amazon.
Okay. And your website, would you just mention it for us? I know we've got a link for you.
It's skyshipsovercashiers.com. Cashiers is spelled C-A-S-H-I-E-R-S. it looks like cashiers at or cashers at the at Walmart.
You got it. Mary, thanks for being on the program. I appreciate
it. It's a joy to be with you. Thank you so much.
And thank you, folks, for listening to us on our Independence Day program. We, of course, will be back with you tomorrow with some more great shows on Coast to Coast AM. For Nathan Staten, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galante, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.